after you
hello
record,
patrons we are now recording. Patrick,
so to answer Roger's question, the person in question, they sort of prided themselves on sucker punching people.
You missed
which
a whole
how they
thing.
Got away with being like 5'4" and getting into fisticuffs with people. That and they were crazy.
I'll be honest. If you do that, you got to make sure you're good at it because the guy gets up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of the nastiest. I have for the most part avoided most altercations. The two worst ones I ever got in with were people who were well under 6 foot, well under 160 pounds. One was probably methed out of his head, and the other one thought his six skinhead buddies were with him. The skinhead really made a mistake because he thought he was about to cold cock me and missed. And I looked up in the middle of this dance floor at the Continental or CBGB's at this skinny little skinhead. And I was like, what is your damage? And his eyes were like this big and he just started backing up.
See, this is why Patrick is also, because he knows a lot about 4K, but he's just so fun to hang out with because he has way scarier stories than I ever do.
Story time. You too can have scary stories, hang out in inappropriate places at the wrong possible time.
Basically being places where lots
don't
of
need
people
the house
are
much.
Just drinking more than we should.
Staying safe with the cats.
I'm sure you can get into some trouble in Venice if you work at it. I mean, it's,
oh my gosh, no, there was a crazy woman out there on Speedway earlier doing her thing, but that's do that now.
Oh, Speedway.
I was down for Patreon Con and had to find a gas station on the way down, and had one of those classic moments where I got off the 405 and then the on-ramp was closed. And blocked. There was no construction going on. So I went to the, you know, and then Google doesn't want to reroute. So I'm driving through what turned out to be a very, very lovely middle-class neighborhood, which fortunately only got sketched just as I was pulling onto the highway about 3 miles south.
Oh, so you made it to my neighborhood.
No, this was not your neighborhood. Well, maybe. I think I was over
right along the coast, near the coast.
I was up around like Van Nuys Airport.
So wait, you were on that side of the hills?
Yeah.
Yeah, that area is really, because we were looking for apartments, Jen and I. It's like, whoa, it really goes from that's all right to oh my god, very quickly.
Yeah. Well, my favorite was the time when I was coming back from Baja and I had to pee, and like I hadn't been in that part of LA. I didn't know where I was, and I pull off and I find a gas station and I'm like, do you have a bathroom? And as the guy starts laughing, that's when I realize there's like 6 inches of safety glass between me and him. Like, there's nowhere to pee around here, man. Where are you from? You stupid. So,
I mean, there's plenty of places, I looked around, but none are sanctioned.
Yeah. Well, that's when I realized I was basically down in Compton before it gentrified. It's like, I'll go somewhere else. And found the world's shiftiest 7-Eleven.
Yeah, I usually end up at a restaurant if I have to go. Because then
there was nothing open. It was not a neighborhood that I would normally have, you know. It was just not a good place to be. Yeah. Although somebody booked us into a hotel by Watts once. That was pretty funny. Like, oh my god, it's dangerous. I'm like, we should go see the Watts Towers. And everybody looks at me like, why would you do that? And I'm like, why would you not?
We're here already.
Might as well see the sights.
Oh
my goodness.
Glad we're not streaming video.
Small child alert. That's so cute. I've only seen still images of the little lass. she walks.
She used to be on the show every day before she could walk.
Hi, Ellie.
Hey, Ellie Did Belly.
Yeah, she's naked.
Hi, oh, Ellie.
She can wear clothes. She has a diaper on, so it's not too bad.
Takes after her old man.
Nah.
Free range naked mayhem.
I wear shorts. Glasses? Are those glasses on Patrick?
My reading glasses, yeah.
God, she looks so much like my friend's kid. similar genes.
Who, Patrick?
Yes. Yeah. Patrick, why do you look so much like my friend, 3-year-old?
It's a long story.
When he puts on the glasses, he does.
My Sarah may get very upset if I tell that story.
Patrick, how are your kids? They're not that young anymore, are they?
Seamus, brace yourself, is 10.
Wow.
And Tristan is 5.
Wow.
So he's in 4th grade or 5th grade?
I guess technically 4th grade, but we're homeschooling. So.
You're homeschooling?
Mm-hmm.
No shoot.
Oh, shooty.
No fooling.
Yeah. You guys will.
I have so many questions about that.
Oh my gosh.
It's not because we love Jesus.
And they have box heads, but it's not because you don't.
But, Tristan,
that wasn't my question. Whether or not you love Jesus.
Oh no, sorry. It's an automatic response.
It's because he doesn't believe in vaccinations.
No, I'm kidding. Sorry. My children are vaccinated within an inch of their lives. I signed my children up for vaccinations. They don't need just in case. That's a joke. Don't email me because there's people who get really angry about statements like that. Don't tease me. It turns out it's a tremendous amount of work because you have a child in your house all day long. It is relatively easy in California. You basically have to file as a school and file paperwork, which is relatively easy to do. Seamus was like me up until the age of 27 or so, which is constantly in motion. Mm-hmm. And some friends of ours who were in the same pre-K Seamus was in, their older son had been in the same pre-K, and they were like, kindergarten repeats pre-K, and he already knows everything because he can spell and do colors and, you know, not spell or just alphabet. The pre-K that the boys were in, or the preschool, copied the pre-K curriculum almost exactly. And then there was just, if there was motion, there was basically like, you should have your child stuffed full of Ritalin until they're lazing around like they're stoned out of their minds. And my wife was like, no, we are just going to completely avoid this in homeschool. So,
the reason I've been thinking about it is because I was at a wedding recently and I met somebody, who's part of the wedding party who was like, oh yeah, I homeschooled my kids. And I'm like, oh, how old are they? And she's like, oh, they're twin boys. They're 17. They're here. And so I met them and they were just like the nicest, smartest, well-adjusted kids. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how did you do that? it seems like such an undertaking. It's like, they all were just like, that's normal life,
I'm laughing because all I can hear, we've been rereading.
Oh,
Tristan's been hearing the Harry Potter story.
Patrick,
for the first time.
Your audio just started going crackly for some reason.
All right,
major artifacty. Might be Google Hangout.
Here, I'll call.
Yeah, I would always start with the unplug.
Ye old unplug.
When someone's wearing a headset and their audio goes crackly, I suspect codec. Talk to me, Patrick.
Hey, my name is Patrick Norton, and I just rebooted my USB DAC or ADC.
Yep, that's it.
And my Google connection.
Seems to happen to USB headsets for some reason. I don't know why. But
well, this is a Focusrite analog to digital converter, Scarlett 2i2.
Now it's
Focusrite.
Well, I don't know. I hate all the computers.
Are you going to homeschool straight?
Focusrite is a good machine, but everyone I know who has one has connectivity issues from time to time.
Yeah, and don't even get to me about trying to do 8-track recording on a Focusrite. It turns out you have to compile your own software if you want to use Audacity. But
if you want to do it right.
Yeah, it's a whole other conversation. Let us not go there.
I don't trust any software. I haven't. That's not true.
You haven't compiled yourself.
Oh man,
I admire those that is true for though.
To answer your question, Sarah, I keep thinking of. Did you ever read the Harry Potter novels?
No, I haven't read any of them, but I've seen all the movies.
So, remember Mad Eye Moody with the crazy eye, the aura that had been scarred and damaged. Like he just has this one moment in the books where he's like, "Constant vigilance," and I think about that when raising a child.
I can see that. I can see that. Particularly because schools don't seem all that safe these days.
Yeah, well, it's the I expected peer influence stupidity to hit like in, you know, the post-pubescent teenage years. It never occurred to me that peer influence stupidity and bad habits would start like with a 2-year-old in pre-K or in preschool. That was kind of a mind-blowing for me, which may be a sign that I'm just foolish.
Like, schools have always been kind of sketchy for me. Like, junior high was the sketchiest. I mean, we had police coming in and arresting people for assault.
Where did you go to Modesto?
Mm-hmm. Schools are still safer than the rest of the world.
I grew up in San Francisco up until junior high, and then I moved to Modesto. So
I'm
going to
start the video.
So I went to Catholic school for 5 years, which is great. And then I went to a public junior high school, Hoover. Man, that is like a 180. Like coming out from a parochial school and going into there, it's like, holy crap.
I mean, I'm nodding. Like, I mean, I'm from Sebastopol, so all the schools were really small. There was never any private school in my world.
What's small?
What do you mean?
How big?
Like, what's like how many kids? Population?
Yeah.
I mean, in my, you know, elementary, junior high, which was all one big school, there were probably about 400 of us.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty small.
And then high school was actually quite big because it's just covered such a big area, probably 1,000 kids.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's big for me.
My high school was like 2,000.
Yeah.
Our high school was something like 500.
I mean, there was nothing particularly bad about it. I just think that junior high and high school kids are horrible.
Well, that's everywhere.
So it's just, you know, it's like it's a landmine just getting out of there sanely.
The problem with junior high and high school kids is they're made of people.
That's right. And they're, you know, there's hormones, there's confusion. There's clicks.
Yeah.
It's all sorts of things. Like, even stuff that, like, at the time I was like, that's just how the world works.
Yeah, there are people who've learned just enough to be dangerous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of fiefdom things that go on in high school. Very annoying.
And college and the workplace. And
college, I
avoid
other ones. I went to state.
Graveyards.
Teenagers are just. State's a commuter school. So you don't really just stay.
I mean, part of the reason that I went to San Francisco State was because the concept of college and like fraternities and like, I don't like weird roommates and just it frightened me. And I was just like, I want to go to a real college, but like live in an apartment and have a job.
Illinois Wesleyan recruited me, brought me up for a weekend and made me, you know, the idea was like buddy up with an actual student and they'll show you a good time. And I ended up not enjoying it at all because it was, you know, a frat and they had a party and I had to sleep on a couch. And I was like, this is
couch not,
no,
I don't want to do this.
This is not fun. This is not fun for me at all.
None of that appeals because I don't drink. So it's like, there's nothing appealing about half the stuff.
I was talking to a friend of mine. He's from Virginia, so I don't know. Long ways away. But
lovers.
But he was like, oh, yeah, you know, I joined a fraternity. And, you know, they made us, like, sit in, like, big buckets of ice and, you know, like.
Long before it helped ALS.
I'm like, haha, you know, standard hazing stuff. And I'm like, but why would you say yes?
Yeah.
I would just be like, I'm not doing that.
Because you're desperate to fit in and become part of the brotherhood.
Oh, see, that's what makes me sad.
I know.
I hate that stuff. Like the desperation to fit in is like, you know, that like, can't be like the social constructs that, you know, we.
But in some campuses, it's amazing. Like some of the a couple of friends of mine went to campuses where 60, 70% of the campus was in a fraternity or sorority. So all of the social life.
University of Illinois was more like 70 or 80 when I was there.
Yeah. I just remember being blown away by that because, I mean, it was funny because one of my closest friends, pledged to frat, and when I would come to visit, you know, I'm like, I live in the Lower East Side, I have a black leather jacket, I am punk rock, and he'd be like, will you wear these things from the J. Crew catalog
and go in disguise?
Like, if you want me to blend, ask me to blend. Don't be like, this sweater would look really good on you.
All right, y'all ready to do the show?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Here we go.
The Daily Tech News Show is supported entirely by patrons like me. To learn more, visit dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, November 15th. Is it the Ides of November 2017? I'm Tom Merritt in DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles.
And from Studio Feline at the beach, I am Sarah Lane.
And joining us from far, far away in the East Bay wilds of Northern California is Patrick Norton. How's it going?
I am full of mirth and good cheer. How are you?
Of course, host of Tech Thing. If you didn't know that, go find it out. TEKTHING. Our producer, Roger Chang, is here as well.
Greetings.
Salutations, Roger. Patrick's going to help us figure out whether we should buy a 4K TV or not and which one to buy. But let's start with a few tech things you should know. This one's big. Microsoft announced it's joining the MariaDB Foundation. That is... If you don't know what that is, it sounds like it's, you know, fighting a disease. MariaDB oversees development of the MariaDB database, which is kind of like saying PIN number, but I get it. MariaDB is a fork of MySQL, created in 2009 to guard against Oracle closing off MySQL, which seems like it's creeping towards doing. People still fear that. Microsoft said it will soon offer a preview of Azure Database for MariaDB.
Square is letting some users test buying and selling Bitcoin in the Square Cash app. The test seems centered around actually buying and selling Bitcoin rather than sending and receiving them. I actually checked mine, and it does not appear that I have this capability just yet, but any day now.
Come on, Square.
Bitcoin that I don't have to sell.
Microsoft is introducing live sharing to Visual Studio and Visual Studio Code. It's kind of like... Google Docs for code, or I guess Microsoft would call it Office Online for code. It allows more than one person to work on code at a time and see each other's cursor and changes. They can even share debugging, and everybody keeps their own key bindings. That weird Vim guy can just keep them. It's fine. Now, here are some more top stories.
Google introduced new search features to help job seekers find work more easily and get more information like salaries for job postings or improved location settings or job application choices. And in a couple of weeks, the ability to save individual jobs as well. If you're wondering, well, how does Google know who's offering what salary? The company says it's calculating salary numbers from sources like Glassdoor and Payscale and LinkedIn. You know, this isn't like... super revolutionary, but it's akin to me like choosing, you know, in a Google search like LAX to this city and just getting like a standard idea of like what things cost and mm-hmm. and you know where they're coming from and what airlines I can choose. So I like this.
These sort of things always give me mixed feelings because on the one hand, the current job search situation out there is sort of a mixed bag. LinkedIn's pretty good, actually. But then there's, you know, still the monsters.com and all of those and Glassdoor. And so somebody bringing it all together and making a unified search, which is what Google's supposed to do as a search engine, is great. Having Google once again take over something that was done by others, as they have tried to do with, like you said, travel search, gives me a creeping bad feeling because I don't want them doing everything.
But I mean, they're not, it's an aggregation of stuff that they still need these other companies for.
Okay.
Right?
As long as they keep...
It's not like Google's like, let me kill Glassdoor. It's like, no, yeah. Data in order to give you salary information.
Patrick, does this worry you?
I feel like Google is eventually going to take over everything. Or Google or Facebook.
So that's a yes.
And on one hand. Yeah, I mean, I hear what Sarah's saying. Like, they need all of these third-party services, but it seems like Google's like, well, we'll just use a little bit of your data, and then like, you know, it's just, you know, we added if you just, and then they add just enough features to make their thing more popular because oddly enough, it works out really well in the search rankings. And then as the other companies suffer and fall along the way, they administer this like headshot death kill. And all you have left is a Google service that may or may not actually be maintained.
And
like Hangouts.
This is different than travel because travel, they bought the company that kind of underpins the search. In this case, right. They really are doing what you said, Sarah. They're looking out and saying, okay, what's out there? Let's make it easier to access. And if they stick to that, that should be okay.
I mean, I think that, you know, and maybe I'm pessimistic and maybe it's just the line of work that we're in, but... I don't, you know, getting a job is like, it's not just like, I'd like this job. Let me look on Google and just find it. That job and then I'll get the job. It's like, doesn't really work that way.
Yeah, that's why the salary thing is pretty good. Kickstarter launched Drip. It's a new subscription-based funding product based on the company Drip that Kickstarter acquired back in May 2016. Instead of supporting a specific project, like Kickstarter does with an end date, subscribers can make a recurring payment to a creator. Sound familiar? It's like you're Patreon, done. Steady, Flatter, all of those. A drip, I guess, can offer rewards to subscribers based on when they pledged, how much they give. There's a time-limited launch phase. This is one way Kickstarter's trying to differentiate themselves. They put a little Kickstarter magic and say the people who fund you in the first 30 days get to be founding members and have special rewards. Kickstarter's also emphasizing data portability, saying that creators control their subscriber lists and can import and export that data freely.
It surprises me, quite frankly, that Kickstarter didn't have anything that was closer to this until now. The idea of, I know that they acquired a company called Drip, so there's probably something like, we got to do something with that name, Drip. But
do they?
It does sort of, I don't know. I don't know how I like the sound of it. Like, I'm dripping you some money each month, but
maybe if you just, drip me makes- some money, it will percolate up into my content.
Right.
And I can grind it out.
Coffee thing. Get it? But no, it's it always sort of surprised me that Kickstarter and something like Patreon, which of course GTNS uses, worked so differently.
Yeah.
And Kickstarter is a big name brand as far as this sort of thing goes. So
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to using Drip 2. Because we did try Flatter for a little bit. The problem is you need to focus, right? You can't have too many ways or none of them get enough momentum behind them. So that's going to be Kickstarter's issue. And what they've tried to do is say, hey, we got these big name people on board. Look at them using our platform. You should use them too. But right now it's invite only. So you can't sign up unless they tell you to.
Shall we go to America's Hat, everyone?
I don't know. Patrick, did you have one more thought?
I thought it was interesting that Kickstarter's basically, they've said they've converted themselves to a public benefit corporation so that they never go public and never sell the company, and that, you know, it's all going to be about the creators and the employees. I'm really curious to see how that works out, because I know myself included, a lot of people, when, like, you know, Patreon took $60 million and there's a choking sound. Because traditionally, when people take a tremendous amount of money from a VC, it ends up at some point being all about short-term gains over everything.
And the public benefit company has been used by a few other startups to try to defend against exactly that thing.
I remain curious.
To the hat.
To the hat. Amazon launched Echo Speakers, Prime Music, and Amazon Voice Services in Canada. So we've got a new English voice with a Canadian accent part of the launch. However, this is going to be a sticking point for a lot of Canadians. No French support as of yet, but it does feature skills from Air Canada, TD Bank, TELUS, the CBC, Manulife, and around 10,000 other apps. So the Echo, Echo Plus, and Echo Dot are on sale for $100, $170, and $50, those are Canadian dollars respectively, shipping December 5th. So Canada joins Amazon Echo's existing market of the US, Germany, and the UK, Japan, and India.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, Canadians often feel like things launching in their country either doesn't happen or doesn't get covered. So here you go. This is a big launch. I find it odd that they have a Canadian version of the voice.
I know that, you know,
I don't think
there's regional differences, but it's not like
you're not going to hear like
pick out a Canadian person. But
add that to the
not.
Shopping list. Okay, eh?
It's not wildly different.
It's enough, I think, for them to feel that they've added that extra polish for the local population.
Would you like to spend Canadian Tire bucks on that?
Dude, this is where this whole thing goes sideways, because Americans can't help but like make Canadian jokes.
Yeah.
Where the Canadians like, we just want French support.
Well, Quebecois wants French support. I mean, you know, large striking parts of the Canadian population could really give a rat's posterior.
It's tutti is the French word, I believe. Yeah.
So, there was an email that came into the DTNS mailbox earlier today from a very nice Canadian man who had kind of gone into detail about how French is a really big deal, official language. So, yeah. You know, I like to keep that in mind.
Definitely, definitely. All right, Apple will give limited help to the Indian government to develop an anti-spam app for iOS after initially refusing over privacy concerns. This according to sources talking to Reuters. Government app was launched on Android last year, but Apple pushed back because of requests for an iOS version that it felt would compromise privacy. The app would allow iPhone users to report unsolicited marketing texts or calls as spam. Apple doesn't want the government to be able to have access to the call log. It's the slippery slope argument, which is like, hey, if Apple made this and said you can have access to the call log so you can block the spam and go through your call log and hit those numbers, the user is going to say, great. If the Indian government is cooperating on an app that the Indian government has access to, which can access your call log, a lot of people start to get a little freaked out, Apple included, that the government could access everybody's call logs.
I don't know. I mean, I know that I'm sort of in a minority here because I don't care if anyone's listening to my calls because they're so dumb. It's like me making
it's not listening to your calls. It's knowing who you called and then, you know, maybe deciding something about you that isn't true based on your call log. Or some people are just like, it's none of their business. Why do they get to know?
And that's true. But it's like my spam, my text spam, and certainly my call spam has gotten so out of control over the last, 12 to 24 months that I just barely answer the phone anymore because it's just all robocalls from like weird spam companies. So it's like, well, I'd like to not get those either. So I can see, you know, if this was a huge issue in India that they were trying to crack down on, that this would be something that you might have to, you know, make a concession for.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough because the reason you're running into the spam issue and the reason I'm sure the same thing's happening in India is because there's a relatively unlimited pool of numbers they can spoof when they're calling you.
Yeah.
So you can be like, I blocked that number. Ha ha. Well, they only have 7 million other ones to do.
No, that's right. Exactly the problem in India right now. Yeah.
You know.
Colorado's Department of Transportation and Brogan Van Brogan's Arrivo, yes, that's a real person's name, Brogan Van Brogan, are exploring ways to use vacuum tubes to alleviate congestion and speed transport across the city of Denver. So this is similar to Elon Musk's Boring Company project, cars sitting on a sled, and also similar to Elon Musk's other Hyperloop idea, the sled shoot through a tube at up to 200 miles an hour. So the claim is that we can cut the four-hour-long trip from Denver Airport
just
to downtown.
Just a one-hour-long trip.
Oh, the hour-long trip. Why did I say four? Sometimes it seems like four. Seems like, you know, it, yeah. You ever been to Denver Airport? It's really out in the middle
like
of nowhere.
It feels like four. You're right.
Downtown to 10 minutes. Arrivo plans to build a test track alongside the E-470 toll road, which runs between the Denver Airport and downtown, and promises to hire 200 employees by 2020.
So it's not depressurized like a Hyperloop. It's just kind of separated, which I guess makes it easier to get up to 200 miles because they could go faster if it was actually the Hyperloop, you know, tube. But
it's not that. I mean, okay, so having been in the Denver airport, both the old Denver airport and the new Denver airport, the new Denver airport used to be a lot farther outside of town. But Denver has grown so much in the last 10, 15 years. It's growing at like 10,000 people a month right now. You know, with all due respect, like, great, you'll have a short trip to the airport and then you'll be stuck in the same delete expletive lines traffic jams everywhere else in Denver. But it's still so much, even the worst, like Denver at its worst is still so much better than LA or the Bay Area or New York City at this point. I mean, it's great that they're sort of trying to get ahead of the curve on this, but I don't think the majority of Denverites are going to be benefited that much from avoiding.
No, for the secret people that come to the secret underground thing that's under the Denver airport.
Right.
That would be my understanding.
I just like the trains in Denver. Denver has trains that work. Like, why start digging holes in the ground?
Well, I actually get, like, having gone to Denver on business and having had to go from the Denver airport to downtown and back and that kind of be the only thing, I get this would have been great, but you're right. It doesn't benefit the entire populace of Denver. This, although they could, like, if once they've built this, they may say, oh, and now we can put it here and that'll help people get across town in their cars because car goes on a sled. That's interesting. Anyway, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com. We just give you the download. Sarah did it this morning. Go check it out right now at DailyTechHeadlines.com or get it on your Amazon Echo as a flash briefing in the Anchor app or on Google Home.
Do it.
Do it now. All right, Patrick, 4K TV. A lot of people are going to want one this holiday season for various reasons. We'll get into that in a little bit, but what should they look for? What are the things that they should avoid on the box? What are the pitches they should avoid from the salespeople? And what are the things that are important to get?
Okay. So the shortest possible, least traumatic version of this is that a lot of affordable 4K TVs suffer from really crappy panels, really mediocre panels, and you can calibrate them and fix them to a certain bit, but I think the shortest version is if you need an inexpensive 4K TV or you're ready to buy a new TV, one, 4K is the new 1080p. It just is what it is. All the manufacturers are moving everything over to 4K. You know, when you're thinking about 4K, it's like 1080p, but with more pixels, and your 1080p content's going to scale on it and look really, really good. The real advantage to 4K is not that it's like, oh, there's more pixels, which really isn't a particular advantage unless you're like this close to the monitor, in which case 4K and 8K is really awesome. But at a normal living room distance, 1080p looks fine. The real advantage 4K has is HDR content, which is slowly coming out more online. Like, you know, Netflix, a lot of their new stuff that they shoot themselves is HDR, and the high dynamic range stuff. That looks really amazing because when you're in dark scenes, it's like, oh, you see so much more of the detail in the dark, scary scenes. And in really bright scenes, you see so much more of the detail in the really bright scenes. That's the real big advantage to 4K is getting access to HDR content. Probably the best right now, like Robert Herron, I do a podcast called AVXL with Robert Herron. You know, the favorite, like Robert's favorite, the Wirecutter's favorite, pretty much everybody's favorite affordable 4K TV right now comes from TCL, which half the population still has never heard of, but that's the 55P607 55-inch 4K Ultra HD Roku Smart LED TV 2017 model because, you know, Amazon. And it's amazing. It's like $650 and it looks really, really good.
So it's a good panel because TCL is a bargain brand, right?
TCL is a bargain brand, but this is a particularly nice panel from TCL. What's unfortunate is they originally said they were going to do some larger versions, but this one exploded in popularity and I don't think I could get the glass to do the larger versions on that. Is that video download helper for Firefox? I love that.
Focus,
the thing about it. Squirrel. The other thing that's really nice about it is they're using Roku as their television operating system. And one of the questions we get constantly is, how do I get a dumb monitor? And it's like, well, spend $15,000 for a commercial editing monitor that's designed for LA television studios. And other than that, you basically can't. You know, all television. Go ahead.
We were talking about this in the DTNS bosses Slack earlier. Right. And my response to them was, the OSs aren't as bad as they used to be. You just want to make sure you get one with a decent OS. Is that fair?
No, I'd say I was actually tormenting Robert Herron earlier this year, and I was like, it's just time to give up on all the OSs, because even on the incredibly expensive televisions, it seems like if you're lucky, you get like a year or 18 months, and then they either switch operating systems or redeploy their engineers or whatever happens. Like, basically, buy a Roku, buy an Apple TV, buy an Amazon Fire TV, plug it into HDMI port 1 or HDMI port 2, and then forget about whatever operating system came on the television except to add updates for security and or...
Well, what we were talking about in Slack is not using the smart TV system, which I think everybody agrees, like, I'm not going to do that, but having it crash and reboot and not work even as a dumb monitor. That's kind of gone away, no? No?
Yes. I would say, I mean, the monitors, all the televisions seem to be stable at this point. You know, at least the ones we've run into. I have not tested all the televisions because there's too many brands. Oh, yeah. But they all seem to be, like literally, I would say, like, buy the television, update it when there's an update, you know, if you're feeling brave. Or if everything's working, don't fix it until it breaks. And then, you know, literally, plug a Roku into it, plug an Apple TV into it, you know, plug an Amazon Fire into it. Especially with Movies Anywhere, which unfortunately is not 4K or HDR, but Movies Anywhere, if you guys haven't played around with it, it is the weirdest thing to be like, I am on an Android device watching my iTunes content thanks to the miracle of Movies Anywhere. And it cross-pollinates all of your movie titles across all of your different services, which I obviously am still finding mind-blowing, you know, several weeks after first loading it up and being like...
And when he says all, he means movies. It's not going to bring your music over. Yeah. That's a whole different thing.
Not going to bring your music over, not going to bring your television shows over yet, but it's still kind of like, hey, my 60 iTunes titles are showing up over here and over there and anywhere I want them to be. This is really cool.
So... TCL or a Roku OS operated TV. What about those are LCD options mostly. What about OLED?
So if you want to buy OLED, the big kind of secret bargain right now, or kind of the super cool trick, right? So there's the TCL for $650 and for a 55 inch is about as good as it gets. To get a larger LCD flat panel, you're going to have to do some hunting around because they've been changing a lot. What's crazy is when you look at LG's OLED series, you know, the W7, the G7, the C7, the E7, pretty much all their lineups are the same as their entry-level B7. So all of their OLED TVs basically use the same glass, are fed by, you know, really, really quality processing. You may not have, you know, $8,000 for the 65 inch LG signature OLED, you know, the wallpaper, the W7 series, but you're basically, by going with a plastic back and a clunkier base, you're basically getting the same glass and processing on the like $2,000 television in the B7 series.
And is there enough of a difference between OLED and LCD to warrant it if you have the money?
If you have the money, the color is going to be much more amazing on the OLED. You know, whether or not you care is an entirely different thing. But, you know, if you're like, I own several hundred Blu-rays and I'm really into the cinema experience, I sit down and I become enmeshed in the movie. Yeah, if you got $2,000, I would definitely consider buying an OLED over the LCD. Or I'd guide you towards a projector, but 4K projectors are really, really expensive right now, although they've come down vastly in price. But for me, ever since I bought a Oppo projector refurbished from Woot like 7 or 8 years ago, I have been all about like, I have a 100-inch screen and I will never go back to an LCD or an OLED panel.
So but
that's just me.
So if you're in the 4K, literally the HDR game, you probably aren't going to go projector yet. You're gonna hang in there for something better, yeah. It sounds like.
I mean, you can get sort of, you know, I call it mock 4K, but essentially by doing some really cool stuff, they can get 4K resolutions out of projectors that are technically not 4K.
Faux K.
With all due respect to the Feline Studios. But the they look really amazing, and they're down to, you know, $2,000-$3,000 instead of like $8,000 to $12,000 to $20,000 to $40,000 like they were last year. But technically they're not true 4K. Whether or not you can actually see the difference between a true 4K projector and, you know, one of the inexpensive ones from Epson, probably has a lot to do with your eyeballs and how much time you spend examining really, really obscure color issues.
So TCL on the LCD front, LG B7, if you want to get decent OLED for your money on that front. Anything else?
You know, the Sony Bravia, the XBR 65A1E, you know, if you scroll down a couple pictures of this one, the best part about this is it's got a kickstand. And if you're living in your open loft space and you want to put the television in the corner, this is really slick. It also does something pretty amazing where they've essentially turned the flat screen itself into a speaker, a big giant flat speaker that radiates the center channel towards you, which is particularly delightful when you're watching conversation heavy stuff on the screen. It's really, really nice.
Sound comes from their mouth practically. That's cool.
Yeah. And they do they're Sony, so they do some really fantastic processing on that. But, you know, this is not an inexpensive television, and that price looks a little higher. I think that should have been that may be a temporary...
Yeah, we're looking at Amazon right now, and it shows $4,000 basically. So you might be able to find it cheaper than that.
Yeah, I going into Black Friday, by the way, keep an eye on Camel, or other price tracking. Although Amazon's been apparently doing some stuff where they sort of magically create new entries for certain products to eliminate the Camel data. But if you're thinking about buying something, check the prices now so you know whether or not the Black Friday deal is actually a deal.
All right, before we move on, because we're getting close to the end here, the ultimate question for a lot of people is, do I need 4K yet? And there are people out there who are like, yes, I need it. I'm buying Blu-rays in 4K, or I'm, you know, or Ultra HD, or I've got Netflix in 4K and I really want to watch it. But for most people who are still asking, is there a short answer?
If your television works, if it's 1080p and your television works, don't fix it. Wait until it's time to upgrade, because you're always going to get more image quality or bigger screens for less money the longer you wait.
So and it used to be, don't bother with 4K. If you need to get a new TV, just get a really nice 1080p. Now it's different. Now it's, if you need a new TV, go ahead and get one with HDR. Make sure you get one with HDR. Not that there are too many that aren't.
But that's a big one. Like, especially if you're looking like, oh, last year's model is really inexpensive. Uh-huh. Well, if last year's model doesn't have HDR, don't buy it.
All right. So. Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and at facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. On to the mailbag. And David from the home counties in England writes, hi, Tom, Sarah, and Patrick. As a Nexus/Pixel phone devotee who used Face Unlock a few years ago but has now abandoned it, I have no personal experience with Apple's new Face ID. Is it very dissimilar from what Google and Samsung have been doing for a while now? If no, surely these issues with children unlocking phones are issues that other manufacturers would already have encountered years ago. Sarah is right that there's a risk that children might log into their parents' phone and max out their credit card. But on the other hand, I know enough parents who'll accept that risk just so they can tell themselves that they still look like a teenager. Because their kids look like them, I guess. No, it's a great question, David. So I went and found an excellent write-up from Jerry Hildenbrand at androidcentral.com. If you really want to know the answer, dig into this. And he did a fantastic job. Android uses front-facing camera and facial recognition. It's not doing depth sensing. Samsung has improved its facial recognition a little, but mostly just by making it work faster and starting to capture your face faster. A little better camera, a little better CPU. Those can be defeated with printed photos. You can print out a photo of somebody and defeat that. So they're not even billed as secure, even though they're securely stored on the phone. They're not billed as a real security measure. It's more of a convenience measure. Now, Samsung also offers the iris scan. That's a little more secure. It uses a diode with near infrared and a second camera, a narrow focus camera. Samsung did balance convenience with security. Like, a really secure iris scanner could take up to 10 seconds. They're like, most people won't put up with that. So they made it a little less accurate in order to make it faster. And because of that, a high-res photo and a contact lens, you may have heard, we talked about this on the show, can defeat that. All the above require you to learn where you position your head, too. They make you think like, oh, right, I have to have it here. Apple uses infrared light, kind of like the Samsung iris scanning, but combines that with the LED lasers to collect depth and the neural engine to interpret stuff. And I have to say, I've been using it, you know, for a couple of days now. It really is fast. I don't realize it's working. I don't have to think about it. So there's your difference between these. And I don't know that I would still say Apple is secure in that you can use it to, you know, fully rely on securing everything, but it probably is for most people. As long as you're not a, you know, billionaire businessman like Patrick and Sarah.
Yeah. I can't really weigh in on this because of how wealthy I am.
You have someone to open your phone for you.
Yes. So hard to get a good servant's face.
I've made all these clones, you know, so I'm just a real different test case. But no, I mean, David makes really good points. And good research project, Tom.
Oh, thank you. I just looked up Android Central and read their article. They did all the hard work. Go check that. We'll have that link in the show notes as well. Patrick Norton, thank you so much for joining us. If folks don't know, you can find Patrick along with Shannon Morse at techthing.com. It's TekThing.com. And of course, as you mentioned earlier, AV Excel. What you got going on at either of those or both these days?
Oh my goodness. Has my phone suddenly exploded? Sorry.
People are so excited about these shows. They're calling in right now. How can we get on?
Blowing up. Oh my goodness. Well, AVXL, especially if you're thinking about upgrading your home theater, we talk about speakers and headphones and amplifiers and just basically giving you a better audio or video experience. We don't care what your budget is. You got 80 grand, we'll help you spend it. You got, you know, $300 in a dorm room, we'll get you going. But Robert Heron and I, he was out for a couple weeks and do some family stuff and just got back. I'm actually playing around. I'm doing my, like, every 5 years, I play around with turntables and vinyl to try to find the magic in the analog experience. And mostly I've found that there's a lot more noise in analog recordings than I remember because it's been so long.
Yeah, Ian Morris and Nate Langston had a little mini argument about this on the text message show last weekend, because Nate's a big fan of vinyl, but Ian throws down the studies that, that show that there aren't as many bits in vinyl as there are, and it, it's all a placebo effect and this and that. So it is
a lot of cognitive bias in, yeah, in audio.
It's a never-ending story.
But we did, like, a whole bunch of
No, go ahead.
Oh, so we did a whole bunch of gaming stuff. One of the new Alienware G-Sync monitors, that review is coming out on Tech Thing this week, and a Silent MX Red, Cherry MX Red keyboard. What does Silent actually mean when you're talking about a mechanical keyboard? And there's other stuff in there.
Go check it out, techthing.com, avxl.com. And don't forget, we need your help picking one of our holiday specials. There's 22 hours from the moment I'm recording this, so if it's already over by the time you listen, I apologize. But get in there and vote on what our last holiday special will be. We'll do the listener co-host, the predictions show, the predictions results show, and what else. You decide. Patreon.com/DTNS.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. Thanks for all the feedback that we get, by the way. It's been a lot of fun absorbing it. We are live from Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern or 21:30 UTC at elfgeekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com.
Back tomorrow with Justin Robert Young. Talk to you then. Woo.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
You know what, Diamond Club? I really have.
I've enjoyed this program.
I have too.
I think we all have in our own ways.
Did you know that Wesley Snipes wrote a supernatural thriller novel?
I had no idea.
Neither did I until I got this PR email. It's called Talon of God. This might be your next
sword laser.
I wonder if he wrote it when he was on the run from the IRS.
Is it sci-fi or fantasy?
They call it a supernatural thriller novel.
So it could be fantasy, stretching. But
I don't know any more about it. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the website.
Talon
of God.
Which means God is a giant bird.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Which
AKA
is, I always suspected
a dinosaur.
That.
All right. Of course,
oh,
this would
seems,
be one
this
of the
seems
PowerPoints.
Very, this seems in your wheelhouse.
A legit sure. book.
Urban fantasy. Holy warrior must convince a doctor without faith to help stop a powerful demon and his minions from succeeding in creating hell on earth. A thrilling adventure of science and faith, good and evil, damnation and salvation.
People have been wondering when the urban fantasy genre was going to finally run out of steam.
Is that really a genre?
Oh yeah. No, Twilight kicked off the urban fantasy craze. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know Twilight would be considered urban fantasy.
Yeah.
Even
Is that though
just
it was mostly
it's in a city?
Rural. It's because it urban, I think they suggest, is when it's mostly within like a city, contemporary city setting, right? Like if it was like London back in the 18th century, that wouldn't. Would that
yeah,
be
what's.
Urban?
I hadn't actually thought about this. What's rural fantasy?
That's what. Like, I just would not consider Twilight.
I would say
like
something really bad right now, so I won't say anything. Hmm.
Vampire farmers just trying to get a crop in.
So
all right, so titles.
He was a small town werewolf.
A is for the name of Amazon Echo. Dripping money. Kickstarter drips into Patreon's house. A lands into Canada. A
We just did
I
that
can't
one.
Say the whole
come
word.
On. Come on, people. Huh? We just did A in the title for Canada.
Mile High Perloop. No Way Foke. I like that. No way, faux K.
Faux K. F-A-U-X. Yeah. Faux, no way, faux K. Yeah. Yeah. That's not bad.
Patrick, does this worry you? Kickstarter drips on Patreon's parade. 4K's new 1080p. Google stopped making things better. Bitcoin is so square. Would you like to spend Canadian Tire bucks on that?
I hear Sarah
Rocky
yelling.
Rocky Mountain Hyperloop. Huh?
Is Sarah yelling?
There is enthusiasm in the front of the building. I can ask.
Oh, I'm like, I'm not yelling. I'm just sitting here.
Wrong, Sarah.
Oh, it was.
Ray of my life. Which Sarah are we talking about? There's always four in the room.
Okay.
I've become abundantly aware of how many Patrick Nortons there are in the U.S. since at least one of them seems to give my Gmail address as a default for all of his receipts and stuff.
So no way, 4K or 4K is the new 1080p.
I like 4K is the new 1080p.
Patrick, what do you like?
Works for me.
Sarah, what do you like?
I like the 1080p one.
Done. Sold. Carried. Motion carried.
That was a very informative part of the show.
It was.
Oh, thank you.
It's funny. Intended. It's like, I think Roger and I had agreed on this a couple of weeks ago where it's like, I can really forgive mediocre video as long as the audio is really good.
Mm. Yeah.
So like my home theater is like, I've got these fancy speakers and I'm very meticulous about like setting them up and the whole thing.
Good for you.
But 4K, I don't care about it at all.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm the opposite. When it comes to movies and TV, like I want the video to be good. Audio is, you know, I want it to be decent, but
it's because Sarah and I rolled out of the BAVAC program, or not BAVAC, out of the Becca program.
I did take classes at BAVAC too, though.
Both.
Becca.
That's a thing that audio production told you. It's like, you video people, you don't understand. Audio is where it's at.
What's so funny is like in podcasting, I go the other way. I want my podcast to be good audio and video I'm more forgiving of. But with TV and movies, like, it's different.
Actually, I used to be like Tom and Patrick. I both wanted good video and good audio. But once you have a kid, your eyes aren't always focused on the screen. In fact, it's probably no longer than 5 minutes. Before it started somewhere else. So I need to understand what's happening.
I just gave up on sleep. I just don't try to watch anything the kids can't watch while they're awake. And then, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's too frustrating for me to be interrupted when I'm watching stuff. So I just don't, you know, if the kids are awake, there's either no television or it's kid-friendly stuff. And we actually don't let them watch a lot of television.
Do you let them have Oreos?
I do. Not like every 5 minutes.
You know what? I won't let Ellie have
There's
Oreos,
a story behind why I asked that. I was just curious.
That's a little bit of a...
This is kind of snobby, but I'll let her have Numinos, but not Oreos.
Well, like, when I was growing...
Really.
This is so funny because I got dinner with my cousin the other day, and we were remembering my Aunt Esther, her great-grandma Esther. And I remember... My grandma complaining that her daughter, my aunt, limited the television that the kids watched and wouldn't let them eat Oreos. And so she's like, well, I can't do anything about the television, but I always bring Oreos when I visit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And really funny. But I mean, I don't know. It's I remember a friend of mine who was a bartender in New York City at this place I worked at in college called the Wetlands. And it was this weird mixture. There was punk, there was ska, and there was jazz, and there was a whole lot of Grateful Dead cover bands or Grateful Dead bands. It was like the first place Phish played in New York City when they started traveling outside of Vermont, which isn't to say that Phish is a dead cover band, but the audiences overlap. And but this woman was there in like full hippie mama mode with her little baby in the really loud nightclub in New York when people still smoked in nightclubs. And the little kid saw the cherry jar and was like deeply fascinated at while mom's like jamming out. And my friend, the bartender, goes to hand the small child a cherry, which, you know, generally speaking, never hand anybody else's child food without permission.
Yeah, yeah.
But the woman like sees the cherry in the child's hand, smacks the cherry out of the child's hand and starts screaming at him about trying to kill the child who's out at 11 o'clock at night in a club with the cigarette smoke and the music up to 11, surrounded by 10,000 drunk, sweaty people.
Now, was it an allergy?
No, it was because cherries are have something in them that would cause like irreparable harm to the child.
Like they could choke on the pits. Oh no, not even
there's
that.
This was a non-evidentiary based. Yeah,
belief.
It was cherry was, but you know, I think it was like the red dye was very upset. Like it was going to cause the child.
It was like a maraschino or something.
So we eat a lot of organic food. We eat more vegetables than I ever were aware of existing as growing up as a Midwesterner, where there was canned vegetables or no vegetables. I let them eat junk food once in a while. It doesn't particularly bother me. So maybe I'm just a terrible parent.
The only vegetable Ellie will eat is a sweet potato.
Don't let her eat anything else for a couple days. I'll tell you what, those green beans will disappear, man.
she still nurses a lot, so she won't. She'll get really upset too. I remember one time I fell asleep. I was holding her on the couch and I fell asleep because I was really tired. She started tapping on my glasses like a bird, like trying to get to me, like da, 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 da. Shaking me.
I'm going to eat your eyes, Father.
For a little girl. She really like just smacks us around.
Sorry. This is like, have you never seen Mean Girls? Didn't you go to junior high school?
Why is this smacking, a lot of kicking? It's like,
oh man.
But she watches, a lot of YouTube because she likes the egg discovery videos.
I don't let the kids watch YouTube anymore unless we're in the room with them. It was horrifying to realize a lot of my suspicions were confirmed by somebody who's pointed out there's all these insane automated video generating services.
Oh, you missed our discussion last week on just that topic.
I bet it was fantastic.
It was a bunch of us being like, well, that's disconcerting. Why are all these YouTube videos, you know, sending messages to small children that are very, very uncool?
Because it takes a lot of clicks to make a living these days on YouTube.
Oh, man.
And if a bunch of four-year-olds rapidly consuming your video, what you really need is more four-year-olds rapidly consuming your video.
There are people who make an entire living on it. It's amazing. I have suggested to Tom, and I mean this sincerely, it's like we should totally do this. There are families that rake in a tremendous sum of money just by doing simple like counting videos and color videos.
I think it's probably, given the way the algorithm's been restructured, it's probably too late to start one of those channels. Or maybe it's not, but I don't know. I just like the idea that the genesis of William Gibson's AI, you know, continuity characters that generate all of the ongoing storylines, you know, is basically coming out of a dark corner of YouTube with people creating word salad spam with automatic generated video.
All right, hold on. Breaking news. We just got an email to the Daily Tech News Show email box from someone, I'll keep the names out of it, asking if we would like to be part of a pie giveaway to benefit the victims of this year's California wildfires. And I'm like, man, kind of hit me on two good points there. I'm very sympathetic to the wildfires, and I'm a huge fan of pie.
I think you should commit all available resources.
On behalf of Hometown Buffet, one of my cousins used to manage Hometown Buffet stores.
Well, I wasn't going to say the name, but there you go.
Pies?
I mean, pie.
'Tis the season for pie.
I don't know.
It's
not endemic. We don't review pies.
I'd like to, but no, we don't.
I'm just saying, like, we could. We can also, can I get a free pie out of this, or is it just the giveaway?
Wait a minute. Is it like a frozen pie? Like the kind you get in your supermarket aisle?
It's like a Marie Callender's kind of a pie.
Yeah, yeah. It's totally like that.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
The best pie I've ever had was the what's that apple farm we used to go? You used to drag everyone to.
Oh, it's over where Sarah grew up. Yeah.
Which apple
Twin
farm
Hills
did
Ranch.
You go to?
We go to one in Gravenstein.
The one before that, the Twin Hills.
Yeah, Twin Hills. Twin
Hills Ranch. went to Twin Hills Middle School.
Oh.
Twin Hill Ranch. I grew up there.
They made Twin Hill Ranch, great apple pies.
As I understand now, is not the same anymore. They stopped making a lot of stuff that we used to get there. But yeah, grabbing some apples. Good apple juice, good apple pie, and they had like a little candy thing for kids after school. So we'd go and get like fireballs and things that our parents wouldn't want us to eat.
Yeah, we go to Gabriel Farms now.
Oh, good question. No Nick with pies, a C says, question to Americans, when is Thanksgiving this year? A week from tomorrow, there will be no regular Daily Tech News show, and same for Friday. There will be Daily Tech headlines in your feed. I don't know why I'm making so many gestures about it.
DTNS producer Roger Chang will be waiting in line.
I will be spending Thanksgiving eating a frozen pie alone with my cat. So if anybody wants me to just like turn on Google Hangouts, I'll do it. I have nothing else to do.
Do you want to come out and hang out with my family for Thanksgiving? I was going
to say,
dry.
You should come over to my house then, because we'll be at least having cooked pies.
No, my point is like...
No.
You know, my Thanksgiving is blissfully empty.
I was going to say, I mean, Sarah, if you want to do
a lot of people have kind of been like, Sarah, that sounds kind of, and I'm like, oh, it's okay. That actually sounds kind of fun because I can just eat weird stuff alone.
Oh, I can have a jar of stuffing.
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Covered in stuffing. Yeah.
Popcorn, toast.
Popcorn and toast, two of my favorite Thanksgiving meals.
Just like the original settlers had.
Just like the
at the first Thanksgiving.
The worst Thanksgiving.
Sir John, what should we eat?
Well, it's because I also, you know how on AMC they play the Godfather movies on Thanksgiving? Hmm. I don't know how many years they've been doing this, but
I didn't know that, actually.
And I want to watch one and two. Like, that's what I want to do on Thanksgiving. And like,
that's pretty awesome.
You know, if you're with other people, that's fine, but it's more in the background. Like, I want to sit there silently and watch the two movies. I don't want to watch the third one. But
No, I somebody's like, you're driving to CES. I'm like, I get to listen to music for 8 hours uninterrupted.
Yeah.
Priceless. Yeah.
Totally. It's solitude has its merits.
Seriously. And by the way, we will be going to CES. And the details of that are only going to be available to you patrons because I cut off the video stream. Get that. No, we mentioned this yesterday, but we'll be there for CES Unveiled, Digital Experience, and Showstoppers, and be doing the show potentially from the floor of CES in the Central Hall. And Tech Thing, you guys will be there too.
Yes.
All the details still to be worked out. But
as one does.
Slowly.
I mean, we're not necessarily cooperating with Patrick and Shanna just because they make easy guests, but
thank you.
It's a good benefit.
It's not that you're not the worst, but you're certainly the least difficult.
I mean, easy and good.
Thank you.
I think the word you're looking for is convenient.
Yes, and guests we would want anyway. It's a double win.
I feel so excited to be a part of your CES attendance this year.
All right. Thanks, patrons, for supporting us. You guys are the best. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.